It's truly good once again to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we lift our voices unto the Lord, that we may edify one another, let's make sure that as we sing those hymns, that we think about the words in which we're singing, and that as we lift our voices, that we're doing it not to please man, but in order to please God. On this morning, I want us to consider the title, The Condition of the Erring. The Condition of the Erring. But before I talk about the condition of the erring, I would like to address those in the audience. You may be visiting with us for the first time, or you may have been here several times. And you have never obeyed the gospel. That means that you have never come and to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and had your sins washed away in the water of your baptism. Well, I want you to realize that you do not have to know the whole Bible in order to become a Christian. We find, I believe Brother Mark mentioned this the other day in the radio program, and you have heard it time and time again, and you will continue to hear it, because the Word of God never changes. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, when Philip was led to the chariot of the eunuch, he approached that chariot and he asked the eunuch one simple question. And that question was, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And the Bible says that he took him from that very passage in which he was reading and preached unto him Jesus. Now, he didn't tell him on that trip everything that Jesus Christ had done. There's no way he could have done that. Or he could have, but I don't think so. The important thing is this, that he preached Jesus unto him. That he explained to him that baptism was necessary in order to be saved. He said, "Well, Brother Melvin, how do you know that?" "I know that by reading what it says there, that when they came upon a certain water, that he said, here is water, what hinders me to be baptized." So I believe that somewhere in that teaching that he had to tell about the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, where he told them to go out and to teach and to baptize and to continue to teach. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, where he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." When the eunuch saw that water after Philip had been teaching him, he said, "Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And you can read it for yourself there in Acts chapter 8, and we will look at verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized?" Verse 37, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest," or "with thy heart thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You see what's happening here? Jesus is being taught to a man. That man understands what he's supposed to do. And when he gets to this water, he said, "Now is the time. There's no use of delaying and waiting until I get back to Ethiopia. Now is the time." The Bible says in verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Baptism is important. Baptism is necessary for salvation. The Bible teaches that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, the like figure whereunto baptism still saves us. God has not done away with baptism. Baptism is what we need in order to become part of the body of Christ, and we'll see that in this lesson as we go on further. But if you're here and you're not a Christian and you have been contemplating in your mind to become one, you can come and look behind the curtain. There is water here, and that opportunity is given to you to be baptized. No matter what time during this sermon you decide that you want to obey the gospel, get up, come down the aisle, we'll take your confession, we'll prepare you for baptism. Why do I say that? I say that because when Peter was preaching up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they interrupted his sermon and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He took their confession, and later on, as you continue to read there in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 39, "Or for the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words, he continued to preach, he continued to teach. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." See, we need some people today that are willing to save themselves from an untoward generation. For people that are corrupt, for people in a society that want to pull you down to their level. We need some people to obey the gospel. And verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls." We don't have 3,000 souls in here listening to me right now. But we have several that are not members of the Lord's church, and an opportunity is given to you to come and to make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away. And once you become a Christian, we encourage you to live a life that is faithful. Live a life that is pleasing unto God. Live a life that cannot no one say anything about and say that you do not want to become. Do not want you to bring reproach upon the church. We have a young lady in the audience that desires to be baptized, and I'm going to go ahead and ask her to come forth right now. Amen. And as we think about doing the things that God wants us to do, and as we become the children that God wants us to be, the Bible teaches us, and I say, as we look at this and understand what we're supposed to do, we're going to find that we're supposed to be faithful unto death. And I cannot pronounce her first name. So I'm just going to call her what her mama called her. Mashaka? Okay, I can't pronounce that. Mashaka, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Upon her confession that she believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we're going to prepare her for baptism. And as we prepare for baptism, I will continue to preach. Amen. The condition of the erring. As we think about... As we think about the condition of the erring, and think about the things that God wants us to do and the people that God wants us to be, that is so important that we know that our life one day will end, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. He will judge us not according to the deeds of anybody else, but the deeds in which we have done. And if we are found to be faithful, we will be told to enter in, my good and faithful servant. And when we enter in, we're there around the throne worshiping God day in and day out, because all day will be all day. But if you are found to be disobedient, you will be told to depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not. Now, I don't want y'all to forget what's going on behind me, and I just want you to listen to my voice. You can close your eyes. Condition of the erring, in Galatians chapter 6, the verses 1, when a man is overtaken in a fault, which we all will be overtaken one time or another, because there's no one here that when you became a Christian have lived a sin-free life. If you have, my hat is off to you. I'm going to let my hair down. Y'all understand what I'm saying? One that is spiritual, Paul tells the church of Galatia here in verse 1 of chapter 6 of the book of Galatians. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, that thou also be tempted." He don't want you to fall, but he wants you to help out that man that has fallen. He wants you to be there for that man. He wants you to be there for that woman. He wants you to be there for that child who has been overtaken in a fault, whether it be someone that has gone out and got contacted and got caught up in a gang relationship, or if it's someone that has got caught up in an adulterous relationship, if it's someone that has become a drunkard or a liar or a thief. He wants you that are spiritual now. We don't send a drunk after a drunk or a thief after a thief, but one that is spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You go to that person and you tell that person, you understand that people do fall. You understand that sometimes we have some things that happen in our life to cause us to lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. You restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, Paul tells them. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6. You know, the condition of the erring is like a sheep that has gone astray. One that does not know which way to go. One that does not know how to find his way back home. But somebody needs to go and get that sheep. It says in Isaiah 53, chapter verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God knows best. He knows how to come and get his sheep. He sent his son in order to gather his sheep back to the fold. Understanding in Luke chapter 15, verse 3 through 7, the parable of the lost sheep. We have 100 sheep and one should go astray. This is the parable. What do you do? Do you say, well, I'm fearing that this 99 would get into trouble? No, you don't fear that the 99 would get in trouble. You go after that one sheep that has gone astray, for this is what God wants us to do. What man of you having 100 sheep, if one lose, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99? In the wilderness and go after that one that is lost until he finds it. He don't give up. That may be his prized sheep. Now, just lost his way. He go after that sheep. He don't give up until he finds it. And he says, and when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he come at home, he called it together, his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm waiting to rejoice. Amen. On some lost soul that we find and bring them back home, I'm waiting to rejoice so that the angels in heaven can rejoice too, which shows two things. One, has realized that they have been in a condition of sin. And another, that we as individuals that consider ourselves to be spiritual have done our job to go out and to find them. And then we didn't give up until we found them. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, we find that a disciple that has lost his saltiness is not worth anything. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. We have to consider these verses as we read. We're going to read down through verse 16 because we also want to talk about the disciple whose light is going out. A lot of times we think that we are who we're supposed to be, but when someone comes toward us, they cannot see us because we are in darkness. We need to allow our light to so shine before men. We're going to find that in verse 16. But let's go back up to verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is then forth gone for nothing, or good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. We need to understand that we need to be who God wants us to be. We need to act in a fashion that God wants us to act, and always be ready to share the word of God with somebody. Amen. Amen. And as we continue in looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, these things are so important. But when we look at the condition of an erring saint, he has lost his saltiness, he has allowed his light to go out. And I want you to understand something. Many times we see and we know when our light is flickering. And we need to do something about it. And when you see your brother's light flickering, you need to do something about it. But many times we say, oh, it'll be okay. That light, it does that all the time. No, that light is slowly drifting away from the fold. And we need to do something. Why? Because the condition of the erring is one who is unprepared for heaven. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. One that is unprepared for heaven, knowing that Jesus went to prepare a place for us. But there are so many that are unprepared to get there. I'm a Christian, but your life does not show it. I'm a Christian, but your language doesn't show it. So we need to do something. We need to do better than what we've been doing. Those that are unprepared to enter into heaven. This is the condition of the erring. Now, I forgot something. I need to do this. But wait just a minute. I'll be right back. Look at the parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They were prepared. They didn't only take oil in their lamps, but they took oil with their lamps. What are you carrying with you today? How often do you study God's Word that when someone asks you, why do you live the life that you live? How can I live a life that is pleasing to God? Are you prepared to tell them? Or are you like the foolish virgins? While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all these virgins arose and trim their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They're begging now. They're asking for something that really doesn't belong to them. You give it to us. The extra oil. Let us put it in our lamp. See, you can't get into heaven on anyone else's well-doing. It has to be your own. It has to be your own. To be your own. And as we think about it and we look at it, it says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go out rather to them and sell and buy for yourselves. You go out there and get your own in the marketplace. We have ours. We don't want to give you ours and we run out, because they have no idea when the bridegroom is coming. See, no matter what we do in this life, when we think that, oh, I can venture out and I can commit this sin just for a little while because God hasn't sent his son back yet. Oh, you some are going to be in for a rude awakening. When Jesus comes back, we need to be prepared. Amen. It says in verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Don't know you. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know the day. Lord, Lord, let us in. Don't you remember me? I was the one that was there waiting on you, and my oil got low, and I had to go out and get more. Lord, let us in. He said, I don't know you. That's a sad, sad situation. That's going to be a bad feeling for a whole lot of people on that day. Going back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then Jesus said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. He said the same thing right here, reference to the parable of the 10 virgins. I do not know you. You ever met a lost friend, a friend that was lost that you hadn't seen in a long time, and you go up to them and say, you don't remember me? And they say, no. And that makes you feel some kind of way. Jesus, on the day of judgment, he's going to have to tell a whole lot of people, I do not know you. Mashaka just became a member of the Lord's church, added to the family of God, ready to live a life that God is pleased with, ready to run, ready to rejoice as the eunuch rejoiced in that day when they came up out of that water in Acts chapter 8. We don't need to let her falter. We don't need to let her fall down by the wayside. We need to uphold her. We need to make sure that she do not get to the condition of the Aaron, because now she is a saint. She is one that we need to continue to strive to better her life as we better our own. The condition of the Aaron. We'll continue on this evening, and we'll continue to look at the condition of the Aaron, because there are some things that we need to point out, some things that we need to see. But before that, I want to ask you a question, several questions actually. The first is, what is your condition? What is your condition? See, many of us are in different stages of our lives. Some of us are old, some of us are young, and some of us are middle age. But what is your condition walking with Christ? What is your condition in this spiritual journey that we're on, trying to get to heaven? Are you contending for the faith as we find in Jude 3? Where he writes and he says, contend earnestly for the faith. See, we have some men that think, oh, I am now at a certain age and I don't have to work for God anymore. I already have my reward. No, you do not have your reward already. You have to continue to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What is your condition? Are you searching for the lost? See, we have some people that think that it's everyone else's responsibility to go out there and teach the gospel. It's everyone else's responsibility to go out there and seek and to find those that are lost. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The children of Israel were lost, but Jesus came to search for them. He came to seek them out, came to find them, that they may know and understand what the truth is all about. What is your condition? Is it what God wanted to be? Are you who God wants you to be? If you are one here today that have not put Christ on, do as Mashaka, come, make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away. Maybe you're one here today and you have strayed away from the fold. You have decided that, I just don't want to live for God anymore, but I still want to come and I want to hear His Word. You're here. Why not get your life right? Why not turn your life back over to God? Amen. It's not too late. It's only too late when you give up the ghost. That means you have no more living things in this body, no more spirit in this body, but your body is laid to rest and that spirit has gone back to the one that gave it. It's too late then. But as long as you're living, as long as you have a breath in your body, there is time for you to repent. And I'm asking this morning, if you're here and you need to get your life right with God, do not hesitate, but we ask you to come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.